Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support. Welcome everyone to Brainstorm Brewery. We're here at episode number 69. That means this is a baby making podcast. You know what I mean? But anyway, it's a special episode because we're gonna got Theros going on. Got the full spoiler. It was spoiled a little bit early because someone Wizards gave access to people that had the Modo beta, and they gave it out on Friday. I was actually one of the happy people to look at Modo Beta, and they had all the cards there in a couple hours. All of a sudden, MTG Salvation had the full spoiler up. So there's a little debacle there a little bit, but we're happy to see that. How do you guys feel about that?
It was so late that like there was nothing left to spoil anyway. It was a bunch of commons. Like, who cared at that point?
What if someone would have got a financial advantage on that? What would you think about the ethic lines as far as that?
It was spoiled at the same time for everybody. This wasn't a God book situation where, you know, something was brewing before anybody else. This was just whatever. We spoiled Fleetfoot Sandals, you know, 2 days early. It was so close to them just releasing the full set anyway that nobody got hurt.
Yeah, I don't think they cared.
This might be like the new thing that happens. Just like whatever the Modo beta comes out, and I'm not really sure this is a thing that's going to happen again. I'm not really super worried about it.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. They got other spoilers out, and then they, you know, all the filler got thrown in. There was nothing big in that last batch.
Yeah.
So it's a set review time, though.
Yeah, but before we start the set review, I'm going to tell everybody, there's a video up there on Mana Deprived. It's the O2 drop after party for GP Oakland. You got Kevy Metal. I don't know if you know him, but if you heard the Heavy Meta podcast, that's one of the hosts there. We were up there. We did it big with the Sign and Blood, and we got his band playing. His band did like a whole set, but we got three of the songs up there. Some magic people. So check out the video. Show some support. Leave some comments, because I guess people are now commenting. We would like to thank everyone that replied to being an editor. And we got another task for some other people. So listen a little bit later. I think Jason will unveil that.
Oh, okay. That's how you're telling me I'm doing it. That's good.
Hey.
Marcel said, I think Jason will do that, like we decided earlier, and you couldn't remember.
I couldn't remember, honestly, but we'll leave that one alone.
So for those of you who, you know, are looking for more of the finance and less of the fun, this is probably the episode for you. I know how much you guys love doing set reviews.
It's so much fun. That's why I'm drinking heavily, because I'm celebrating the fact that we get to do a set review of a set that is underwhelming.
Yeah.
Oh, so what about Chandra? What do you guys, just before we start that, on Modo, that jumped from $5 to now it's at 16 plus, and I don't know.
Yeah, but there was never a good time to buy it in paper. We did a quiet speculation hangout today for an hour that turned into four, and we really got riffing on Chandra. And the historical low on Chandra in paper is 1250, and like buying it at 1250 wasn't really possible because nobody cared about it at that point. Ruben Bresler played it on camera, made it to the finals of that SCG Open with it in the Painter's Stone deck, and there aren't that many more decks for it in Legacy when you really think about it. And it was a card that people like Reed Duke were saying, I wish I had more of them in their modern deck. So if this makes a splash in standard, it could go up, but really even it was around 15 after Ruben's performance on camera. So buying it at 15, the card would really have to hit like 25 or 30 for buying it at 15 to make any sense. And, it could potentially hit 30, and maybe I wish I'd bought it at 15, but I just don't see a ton of opportunity. And I don't think the card has legs in Legacy. So I think this is mostly a modern and maybe standard card. So I'm much less bullish than I was last week.
Yeah, I'm kind of kicking myself in the ass because I like this card, but only bought a playset. But I was just a little hesitant to pull the trigger because so many people were down on the card, and I just like I put money into other cards, and I should have at least bought something else more than just, you know, my own. But whatever, you know, shit happens.
I don't think you missed much.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that bad actually. But you know, it's sometimes one of those opportunities. Every set you got the opportunity where, you know, a mythic is going to double or triple in price within the first couple of weeks. And you know, sometimes it's just good to go and try to find that out. And Chandra was a little bit criminally undercosted if you really think about it. So is this probably just a natural reflection? It should be around, like, you know, $15 to $20 card unless it really sees heavy play and goes from there. Let's talk about Theros though. So what we're going to do, we're going to go down. So we got what, an A, B, C, D rating, E? Are we going to still do that one?
Yeah, let's actually do one for the second time.
So the scale at home, guys, is A5 for cards that we think are underpriced and will go up from their presale price.
No, it's A, B, C, D. It's A, B, C, D because if you use a number, it could be...
It's an ABCD where A is a card we think is going to go up in price, from its current price down to, you know, an F where you don't want to touch it.
These are cards you want to sell. These are cards you want to move at the current price. You know, a C is something you'll be happy trading for. So it gives you an idea. Is that correct?
If there's, an A, for instance, is something that we think is super underpriced right now and you should actually buy in for cash. Like, you know, that A+, which I think we very rarely ascribed to something. I think maybe we talked about it for Burning Earth. But most, like, a B is something you want to trade for. A C is kind of whatever. You know, and then the D and the F you want to get rid of.
Yep. Bust them in packs, gets rid of thems. So it can get a little bit confusing because the review sometimes goes like, yeah, I like this card. I think it's really good. Yeah, it's great. E. And that's because the card we think is overpriced at its presale price.
There's no E's. Alright, there's an F. Come on.
D and F. Alright, fine.
It's like, it's like school. Come on now. Just stop that E shit. Alright.
If you say A, B, C, D, F, you're probably getting a DUI. I'm just saying.
My school did do, E's. They didn't do F.
That's cause you got your school as an exception to the rule.
Yeah, it turns out it's an A, B, C, D, F. That's how the grading system works. Yeah,
that's just because I thought E would stand for excellent. Like, what was?
Yeah, because I actually went to a school. I had a elementary school that was like on a different. It was a year round school, and they used a system of E, S, I, and U, which was excellent, satisfactory, unsatisfactory, and unacceptable. I believe. So, I guess that they didn't want to maybe a crossover on that.
This is all really solid stuff.
Hey, sometimes you gotta get that background, you know? Cause we don't want to start.
I know so much about you, Marcel, just from when we're dirtling around, not wanting to talk about the cards in Theros.
I don't want to. Nah, I like this set. I like this set, actually. I'm very happy.
I like the flavor of this set.
I played with it on Moto Beta, and it's actually fun. And yeah, it's gonna be kind of cool. So people like it.
Okay, anything else before we get started?
No.
Okay.
I want Fogo.
Let's hammer this flat.
All right, let's start with the mythic rares.
We're going alphabetical.
We're just gonna do it the one that Marcel sent us.
Yeah.
Did you say rares? Yeah.
I have rares pulled up on my screen. You said rares earlier, Corbin, and then we pulled up rares. You're like, let's do mythics. You were actually the worst.
I actually only said mythics because it's a thing that's been pulled up on my screen the whole time. But that's fine.
Link it to us. We'll do mythics, it's fine. Let's delay. Let's make everybody wait in real time in their cars.
They're really gonna love us for this one.
Oh man, he did link it. Cool.
And his is shorter. Oh, he's more efficient than I am. Oh, but look, it doesn't have pretty pictures. Yeah.
I mean, you can mouse over the card and get a picture, Marcel.
I'll mouse over you.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I'd rather have the pictures.
Yeah, this sucks without pictures.
Yeah, I don't even know what the half these cards do.
Oh my god.
Oh wait, we can just hover over. We can hover
over. You just said you can mouse over.
Yeah, whatever. Oh, I'm not listening.
This is a comedy of errors already. I'm sorry to everybody listening.
All I wanted to do was start with the important cards. That's it.
We're people too.
Wait, okay. You gotta have some suspense. You gotta, you know, draw it out. But I think we already had enough crap as it is, right? So we might as well just start with the good stuff because We don't want to lose people at this point. So here you go. See my link right there? It's got pretty pictures and everything. Bam. So we got Ashen Rider.
This Ashen Rider.
I love this card. Oh, yeah. I had a love affair with, damn it. I already forgot her name.
Angel Despair?
No, it was the Archon.
Despair, Angel of Despair.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Archon of Justice, which is very similar to this card.
Oh, no, Angel of Despair. Angel of Despair is dead on, only you destroy the target. Angel of Despair had the same casting cost, which was 4, 2 white. Oh, wait, actually it was 3, so this is 1 more. So this is 4, 2 white, and 2 black for a 5/5 flying Archon creature. When Ashen Rider enters the battlefield or dies, exile target permanent.
Do we pick this at $8?
No.
No. I just realized he's 8. Ouch. That sucks.
I mean, if there's a deck for it, it's probably the Reanimator style deck with the whip, of Erebos, I guess. Like, that seems like where you'd want it.
Especially with that sack outlet, that'd be nasty.
Yeah, no, cause it gets removed from game with the whip no matter what, right? You can't even make it die.
Yeah, but you bring it into play.
Yeah,
so you're talking about just, like, straight reanimating it. Yeah, that could be.
I mean, cause it costs 8 mana, like, it's pretty much only with T-Plane or Reanimator Shell, and doesn't even see that good if you don't get the second half of it.
So. Yeah, so if you whip it and it dies, it's not going to get that dies trigger because the whip has a special clause that it gets exiled. So.
Yeah, so whatever, it doesn't even work there. Big F.
Yeah, I don't like this guy at $8.
Yeah,
I don't think you have to be right on it to dump him, but yeah, like I would say a D. Like I don't think it's going to drop super slow being a mythic still, and it's not a super overpriced mythic, like. I think it's going to remain $4 to $5 no matter what. It's not going to like tank right down there immediately.
Corbin, yeah, you're a white black EDH guy. Is this going to slot into your deck?
No.
I just like putting you on the spot because you don't know anything about EDH. It's funny.
I have a deck. It's even a Reanimator deck. Like no. Like,
okay.
Yeah. It's just I don't know. It's probably fine, but like it doesn't just stand out to me.
We've spent 10 minutes on and gotten through one card, so this is a good.
It's a mythic. It counts. Yeah. Right, next card.
Next card.
Hold on. I give it a D.
Yeah, sorry. That's how eager we are to get to this. Planeswalker costs $25. Ash Nightmare Weaver. 1 blue, 1 black, 1 colorless. 3 mana. Plus.
Do we want to like describe the cards for people that can easily just.
Yeah, we waste a lot of time doing that.
Let's not. Like.
We have read off quite a bit of the cards, huh? Yeah. For the sake of us condensing this cast for everybody else out there that wants us to get to the financial relevance, we're just gonna cut out all the things and.
If you're listening to this in your car, we're sorry. For the rest of you, follow along.
I mean, we'll give you.
We'll have a link in our show notes, and you click on the link, you'll see it exactly as we are, or you go to order it into the rarity by Mythic Rare in alphabetical order, and you can follow along with us. But other than that, we're not going to read the cards.
I suppose, like, if you're in your car and you're listening to this and you want to know whether we say to get rid of or pick up a card, it doesn't really matter if you have it in front of you because you're going to have it in front of you when you either pick it up or get rid of it. So.
Okay.
Let's go. Let's talk about
the card. Nightmare Weaver is a Planeswalker and it mills stuff.
It's the blue-black Planeswalker for 3. Yes. I like this card.
I like this card a lot. I think this card's ridiculously good in mirror and the control mirror matches.
Yeah, he's solid and I think casuals are really going to like, they like milling. I think there are enough mill cards in standard now with this guy. Like between him, Jace, Tome Scour, there's, Reap Intellect.
Breaking Entering.
Mind Grind. Yeah, Breaking and Entering. Like, mill might be possible. It won't be good, but it doesn't have to be good, because bad players will like to build mill.
Yeah, so it's $25. What do you guys think at that price?
A D. I say a D.
I'm like a D minus.
It's possible you'll wish that you'd bought in. Nah, fuck
no.
I'm actually gonna say B. I think you should trade for these.
At $25.
Yes.
I think you should wait, like, the pre-sale price on a Planeswalker is almost never correct.
Yeah, I don't think
it matters if it's a pre-sale price on a Planeswalker. I think it's a pre-sale price on a standard card that's going to see a lot of play on the Pro Tour 2 weeks later.
I don't think it's going to see a lot of play.
I think this is going to be a major player in standard. It's a 3-mana Planeswalker that is a good way for archetypes to interact.
It doesn't have the deck waiting for it, though.
You don't want to play this on turn 3 against an aggro deck.
which is going to be more than half the field.
Yeah. Let me.
There's no deck ready for it to slot into.
Yeah, like, and if you're talking about control,
Esper control is a real thing. Like, that's definitely
that's what it's losing a ton of cards.
But it's a sideboard.
It's not. It's also gaining a ton of cards. Like, you can't talk about decks to slot it into. We're going into rotation. It's not like gaining a new set normally. Like, this is
okay. Okay. Ryan says B. The rest of us say D. All
right.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's fine.
Next card then.
Elspeth.
Elspeth. Yep. She, costs 6 mana. She's a planeswalker. Out of stock at 30 on Star City.
She's actually a good planeswalker.
She's really good.
She's good, but she's not going to be a 4 of in most of the decks that are on her, will she?
No, she'd be like a 2, maybe, maybe 3.
I think you want to pack these.
What do you
mean? At 30.
Who don't understand.
I think you want to open this in a booster pack. I do not think you want to pay $30. I don't think you want to trade for these at 30. I think this will, even if it gets a lot of play, I think it'll go down before it goes up.
Yeah, I agree. But I don't think it's gonna, like, I think if it would cost less and could be a 4 of in a deck, then it could hold the 30. Cause it is very good, obviously, but like, obviously if it costs less, it's not gonna do the same things it does now. But it, like, it's not a 4 of, so it can't be 30.
So what grade do you guys give it?
D. I mean, a D. I wouldn't be super pushy about getting rid of it. Like, I think you'll be able to trade it out before it goes down or before it goes down too much at least, and like, you'll see the writing on the wall one way or the other.
Right.
Like, I don't think this card's gonna see rapid movement one way or the other. Cause even if it does see play, like, it might creep to 35, but it's not gonna, like, shoot up to 50 or something overnight.
And I don't think you're gonna feel like a real horse's ass if you run out and drop 120 on a playset, and then, like, I don't think it's gonna drop substantially in the first month. So if you really need these to play with, I'm not saying stay away.
So I call this a C, cause like, the card is, after playing some with it, the card's very good. So like, if there's anything, if any of the planeswalkers are gonna, you know, have a pro tour bump and jump up, I think it's Elspeth, like, 3 months from now, I don't think it's 30 though. Think about Jace last year. I mean, you would have been correct if you said Jace hit 50, and then you would have been correct if you said Jace hit 10, cause both happened, you know, like, so I guess the Elspeth jumping.
The window was so small to get rid of that Jace at 50, almost nobody got 50 for them.
Right.
If you bought in and did, you know, bought in correctly at like 25, you still probably didn't make the $25.
Yeah, you probably didn't make a ton. So like, I give Elspeth a C because I'm okay having them, at least, you know, like we were saying, for a couple weeks, but long term it's going down from 30.
Yep. I think it'll come to the $20 card and maybe a little less because it's still going to be like a 2, maybe 3 of at most. And I think the decks that want it are much less than you really think that is.
Okay.
It's a very good deck, I think, though, or a very good card.
And these gods, so we got a Rebos, the god of the dead.
Yeah, the black god.
$15, wow.
Your opponents can't gain life, you can draw cards, $15 pre-order.
I really don't even want to open my mouth and say a letter grade on this because this is unprecedented. We really don't know what effect the casual community is going to have on something like this because this just screams casual appeal. So, it's going to look really good foil too. Like, it's just one of those things where the casual community can really prop up a card. So this might stay around 15. But even if it doesn't go down like a rock, I still don't think you want to pay 15 on this.
No, I
give it like a C-, cause like, yeah, I think it, like, I'm looking at these similar to Eldrazi on a slower, like a lower scale. I think they'll go down, like, as a whole, they will probably go down. But I think that the casual interest will be there long term. So like, 15 is probably not terrible. Like, this one probably dips to 8 to 10 or something, at which point I think it, you know, may be correct to, you know, pick them up just for that long term.
Yeah, C-. I mean, it helps against Sphinx's Revelation, and if there's a deck that could play with that, it is. But, you know, Devotion is not as easy as it is to get it active as it takes. And when you go through several loops, you still just have a 5-7 creature, which is cool, but, you know, it's blockable. So, I mean
if you're not triggering Devotion, this guy's a really bad Underworld connection, so.
Yeah, I think it's probably a D still. This probably needs to come down to, 8 to 9 sounds right. All the guys you still don't know because, yeah, you do have the casual appeal, and I think there's gonna be 2 or 3 guys that are just gonna be very, you know, seen and constructed the whole time, and then some other guys are gonna vary in and out depending on what other cards are in the format. But, you should get in on them early.
So would you say the gods will follow something similar to Titans?
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think all the guys will see their, I think all the guys will have a price that will be above their pre-sale price at these at 15. I can see the guys hitting 25 at some point, some of them. We got Porphyros, right? Is he 25 right now?
Porphyros is sold out at 30.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's definitely there, but I think the next one actually, Heliod,
yeah.
God of the Sun. I think at 9, that's like a, I wouldn't say buy it, but I definitely would, I'd say it's a B. I would trade for that. This card is underpowered and I mean undervalued, and I think people are underestimating it. But in the control deck, like, this is pretty nuts.
It's I think that people were saying it, like, it's a little bit of an upgrade for Sacred Mesa.
So
there's a new cast on the Mana Echo Spike feed, and they were talking about he was playing with this and he found this was better than Aetherling and it performed better on certain cases. It wasn't a whole bunch of tests, but he felt that it felt better in control decks because of that.
I'd almost rather this was never a creature. No, they're indestructible. Never mind. So it's not that much of a liability.
Here's what I'm looking at in this. Like, I think that probably, yes, this one is good in a control deck, but those same control decks can have a difficult time turning it on. So, like, do you want to pay 8 mana to get your first 2/1? Like, I don't think that's good. So I think you want to play it in a deck where you can trigger it. And I think that those decks, probably the mana in them is hard. So, like, I've been testing green-white, for instance, in the, testing it right now this past week or whatever, and I haven't liked Heliod at all because, like, Precinct Captain is extremely difficult to play because you don't have the green-white scry land yet, and you also don't have the white-blue scry land yet. So, like, I think that Heliod is going to have a difficult time getting played in decks that can trigger its devotion until those lands come out. So, like, at $10, I give this one a C+, because, like, I do think it's good, and I'm fine having them. I think it'll probably come down a little bit from 10, but I think it'll go back up past that.
So you were playing a blue-white control deck with Precinct Captain?
No. I was playing green-white, like, mid-range. Uh-huh. But, like, the point is you can't play Precinct Captain in that deck yet because the mana is not good enough without the green-white scry land. And it's the same, like, another deck where you talk about maybe using it is, like, blue-white, and you don't have the blue-white scry land, right? And I feel like if you're playing this guy, you want to do it because you can turn him into a creature. And, like, Precinct Captain is a great one, but your mana is difficult to do right now. So, like, I think once the mana fixing is there, this guy becomes better, which is why I think he may come down now, but I still think $10 is a good price to get in.
But you can, and, like, blue-white-red, you're playing Chain to the Mountains, you're going to be playing Detention Sphere, which is going to turn it on fairly regularly on top of some other cards. I think turning it on is not going to be as hard as you may say.
That's a lot to do in a control deck. Like, you play those two cards in this, like, you're still two white symbols away from getting there, you know? Like, that's why I say, like, he seems like if you have a deck that goes turn one, Soldier of the Pantheon, turn two, Precinct Captain, turn three, anything, turn four, this, I feel like that's the deck you want him
in. This guy turns himself on, though. He's the only planeswalker or the only god that does that.
No, he doesn't turn himself on.
Gives you white tokens. No. Oh, it's a white mana symbols. Never mind. Don't listen to me.
Yeah, no white mana symbols.
But anyway, so, like, to me, he fits better in a deck that curves into him. And then, like, it gives you reach if the rest of your creatures die.
So what do you rate him as on the financial scale? What do you give him as a letter gate?
C+.
What do you guys, Jason, Ryan?
Oh man, I don't care. C. Like, he, $10 seems about right.
Alright.
So I don't think he's gonna plummet in the short term.
Hythnioia. How do you say that?
No. Hythonia.
Hythonia.
Hythonia with a cruel. This is a really, really, really expensive card.
Yeah, this seems really bad.
Like, I think it's insane. It's so funny to have huge creatures with Death Touch. Like, the fact that Grave Titan had Death Touch is just hilarious. It's like, yeah, I block with my Bird of Paradise. Oh, okay, it dies from my 6-6, because my 6-6 has Death Touch.
Trample.
It's just flavor at this point, right, though? Like,
exactly.
Death Touch, yeah.
Gorgon's got to have Death Touch. 8 mana for the monstrosity. This seems like a very top of your curve limited type card. I don't, like, EDH players are obviously really excited about this, but I don't think that's going to drive it above $4.
It's a D.
The first few months. This is a card I really like that I'm giving a D. It's weird to do that, but I just don't think there's any financial opportunity buying these things at 4.
I think it's sure. a C, so I think it's going to pretty much stay where it's at, so you're not going to see much of a change.
Right. Same deal. Like, I mean, I don't think we need to continue with it. Like, it's either, you're not going to get a gain with it. It's either going to go down or it's going to stay where it is.
Alright, so the trolliest card in the set, Master of Waves.
Let's make Corbin do this one.
Well, Master of Waves is a 4 mana cost, 2/1 Merfolk that, pumps other creatures, but those other creatures are not Merfolk. So, you know, that's cool.
So where's the trolliest part of this coming out? I don't get it.
They gave him a Merfolk and it's Merfolk. A big bag of dicks.
Jason, I didn't ask you to answer the question. I want to hear Corbin say that.
It is a Merfolk lord that does not pump Merfolk. That is why it is a troll card.
Are you a very personally upset? Are you offended by this?
I'm disappointed because were this card pumping other Merfolk, I think it would be pretty good.
So, wait, let me ask you this question. Are you more upset with this, or are you more upset that there's 5 Merfolk in Theros and there's only 4 Merfolk all Ravnica?
I'm more upset with this. I'm not upset about the 5 Merfolk thing. It's not like I expected a ton.
But you got more Merfolk in Theros than you did in all Ravnica. How do you feel about that?
After hey, Master of the Pearl Trident rotates.
They're on the right track. But, I mean, to make a mythic Merfolk lord that doesn't pump other Merfolk is just a kick in the balls. But anyways,
nice
like that's...
Pump your tokens from Young Pyromancer.
It's a true story.
Yep. It costs $10, and I give it a D minus.
E plus. Oh, I'm sorry, we're not doing E. I give it an F.
I actually like this card a lot. I'm still giving it an E. But...
No, you're not on the scale.
I think B minus. I still think it's going to settle somewhere.
It'll I said I like this card.
It's
going to
settle way below $10 goddamn dollars, though.
It'd be like 4 to 5.
Okay. Midomai the Ageless. This creates an extra turn, and then it can't attack during that extra turn. And I saw something really funny on Facebook. We're buddies with Jeff Foster, who's a judge, and he said a lot of people are like, well, what about when time runs out and it goes to turns? Can it attack during those turns? And stuff like that. It's pretty funny.
There are extra turns. The answer is that they're not extra turns. They are additional turns. That's a funny question. Also, at $8, I say D.
F.
Yeah. F. Sorry. Like, it doesn't do anything I want.
And I don't think in the deck you would rather have Aetherling.
Aetherling,
I mean, always.
I'm gonna actually say C on this one. I think this one has enough of the casual splash appeal that it's gonna hold some value.
I really like it in EDH.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but like,
that doesn't
$4. Yeah.
It'll drop before you buy into them. I think
being a mythic, it is relevant for that though. Like, one of those cards where, again, this could be like Archangel, Athune, Colony, and Hydra, where it's not necessarily that it's seeing a ton of standard play, but if it sees enough, like just in the casual realm of standard, like you got to remember the tier one standard and the FNM standard are two very different things.
I actually think this could see some standard play, like, you know, competitively. It will take Aetherling to go away. And if you got any kind of like, if you back this up and you're just taking extra turns, like that's this game. I'm sorry.
At $8 though, like I don't think even if it gets that modest amount of play, it's probably not going up, so it's still
great.
No, I don't think at $8, I definitely say it's
Star City has 36 in stock. So
So all of them. Nylea, God of the Hunt. So this is the green god and gives creatures trample and pumps dudes for 4, like I don't know.
No.
I think it's gonna come down to most of the guys from 15, so I think
15's
C minus.
I don't think it's going to come down the most. I mean, it's still a very relevant body. It's a 6/6 for 4 mana, and of all the colors that can turn on devotion, green is by and far the easiest.
That is true.
I agree.
Green. Yeah, you just play one Colony Hydra.
You just play Tusker. I mean, you're playing cards that you want to play anyway.
Burning Tree. Burning Tree.
Yeah, like Burning Tree turns it on. That's like there's, I mean, even Llanowar Mystic.
So okay. I'll give it a D then. Yeah, I still think it'll come down. About 10. 8 to 10, still.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I actually have no problem trading for these because there is the potential that, like, again, this is one of those cards where I don't see it going down as fast as it could potentially go up.
There's only one god that I'm really sure of. The rest of them, like, I'm giving hedgy, proclamations, and I realize that sounds lame, but, like, I fully understand that the casual community could embrace these so much that like everything we're saying is totally wrong. I don't want in at 15 on this guy.
I don't want to drink on it, but I have no problem if I pack them. Like, if I can't get rid of them immediately, I'm not devastated.
Okay. Eldrazi went from 15 to 8 or whatever, like 20 to 8 to 10, and now they're, you know, $30 or $40.
It took 5 years to be $30, though.
Right. You guys are talking about this as a casual card. Like, I consider this, like, a potential competitive card, though.
Okay.
Right. Well,
it's been 5 years since Eldrazi? Fuck.
I think maybe 4?
Well, it can be 5, yes. Because it's
2009.
It's 4, right?
4 years.
4 years. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, so like if these may take that path, but like I think there's no way they don't come down first. But yeah. Okay. All right, next card. How do we say?
Pelucranos.
Pelucranos.
The world eater. I mean,
this guy can never hit $20.
Oh god, no. I don't think he's gonna hold.
He can never hit $20 because he's in a $20 precon that has a Sun Titan in it. So like this guy's price is good. It has an artificial ceiling on it, and I don't think it's much above 8.
I agree.
Like, at what point does it become cost effective to go buy heroes versus monsters or whatever it is and, get your Sun Titan and get your anal and chlamydia and all the other stuff that's in there? The regrowth, like,
I don't think
I like those at 20, but like, yeah, this guy just like, he's got an artificial cap. So I'm going to give him an F.
I'll give him a D.
I don't think the artificial caps matters. I think it's a cap on him being a good card. So, you know, that's where I'm at with it. So I give him a D minus.
Yeah, I played against it and it was very underwhelming.
Yeah, F. Yeah, I think F. Yeah, D minus.
Yeah, I played against him with the heroes and monsters deck, and I just gave zero fucks about him with a practically limited deck.
Yeah, hold up. Yeah. $8. Give him an F. Out the door. Next one, Porphyros.
Porphyros. I would give him an F too because $30 is non-sane.
Yep.
He's not even that good.
I don't think he's that good either.
You don't want to play him in the decks that everyone's talking about. Like, everyone's like, mono red aggro, let's slam him. Like, no. Wow. What are you doing? Mono red aggro, like, so you're gonna play a 4-drop that doesn't do anything immediately? At all? Like, yeah, isn't even a creature?
Red is gonna be the hardest to turn on devotion. Like, hey, Lightning Strike isn't really turning on devotion for me.
Are you serious? I got a mono red deck and I've played with this and he's in there. He is definitely
a player. Cackler, Burning Tree Emissary, another card. Turn 4, this guy's turned up.
Cause you got Azazel, and then you got, Boros Reckoner, which is just,
okay.
And then you got Sandra's Phoenix, which is also 2 to turn him on, and he himself.
I guess, but you're just talking about like a mid-range, you're just talking about a mid-range like mono red deck.
Where's mid-range about that? You got Cackler, and you got the other Fire Drinker one, that's four, eight one drops, and you got Azazel. And then you got, what's it called? Burning Tree Emissary. There you go. That's 16. You got, Boros Reckoner.
I understand the cards are there, but what I'm saying is like, you're talking about
that's 30 cards in your deck, and he is the top one of your deck.
Oh. Okay, guys. Do we want to pay $30 for him or not?
No. I give him a C.
I think
he could hold his value. He'd probably be 20.
30.
Yeah.
This isn't Dragon's Maze with only one good card.
I give him a C.
Okay.
Alright, D.
I give him a G.
Okay, Jason with the G. Ryan?
Yeah, I can't dislike this guy more for his cost. I think this guy's might be competitive, but certainly not $30 competitive.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. Alright, next card. This one feels weird to me. Stormbreath Dragon, the 5/5 haste.
Wait, why is this card so much?
Holy crap.
Everybody is going to want to, everyone that's running Thundermaw Hellkite's like, alright, well fuck it, I'm just gonna put in Stormbreath Dragon in that spot. So I think if he lives up to the hype, he could just take over from Thundermaw. Dude. Thundermaw hit 10 because he like, you know, fell out of favor for a while, and the metagame shifted, and then it shifted back to Thundermaw. This guy, he fills a very similar role, and I think people are going to want to pay that initially. It really depends on whether he lives up to the hype, but I don't think he's going above 25.
I agree.
You know, you're probably right. He could hold that price for a little bit just because people are going to try to jam him, but I think ultimately he's just going to drop. I think it's an F in long term.
Oh, that seems like the most overpriced card in the set to me so far.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Go ahead, Corbin.
Production wide is really good. Like, and I get all of that, but, like, Thundermaw was rarely a 4 of. right? Like it was more like a two of is like that top end.
It was a 4.0 for a while. When it was like $40, it was a 4.0 and a couple
Thundermoth's price was because it was in a core set. This guy isn't a core set, he's in a set with a bunch of other $30 cards.
That's exactly my point.
He's also a 4.4 for 5, which like it might not sound relevant, but it is. Like
if you're Bastion playing for 5 is not a quarter of their life. This is a
Five turn clock is not as great.
See, his price is based on Thundermaw's price and not his own merits. I stayed away from this guy.
F.
Thassa, right. God of the Sea. $25?
F. Yeah. I'm sorry. I like Thassa. I think she's good. I actually do, but I think she's more like a 12 to 15, so I give it an F.
I'm not paying $25 for a soothsaying.
If I wanted to play Think Tank, I would.
I think Thassa's pretty nuts, but 25 seems wrong.
What's a good number for Thassa, Corbin?
15.
Okay, so that's an F.
10.
Underworld Cerberus. This set's Master of Cruelties. That's literally all you need to say.
Yeah.
Like, what did Master of Cruelties do? That was 10. What is it now? F. Xenagos. Xenagos is 40. Xenagos is $40. I wish I hadn't given a G earlier, because now I got to give this an H.
would agree with you on that.
I played against it in some testing, and the card was fine, not insane, like good, but certainly not $40. So, like, there's no way this can cost more than Domri.
This wouldn't be $40 in Dragon's Maze. If this were the only good card in the set, it still wouldn't be $40. That is non-sane.
There's just no way this can be more.
What do you want to pay on this guy? Corbin, you seem to think he's okay. What would you pay on this guy?
20, maybe. Like, I think 20. I think, like I say, I think he's maybe just a little below Domri, and Domri's like 25. So, like, in terms of power level, that's kind of where I put him.
Domri's like, played in Modern and Legacy, and that's how he's 75.
Right, so, like, I think...
Is this guy going to get played in Modern and Legacy?
Maybe. Unlikely. Maybe.
So I don't even want to pay 20.
So, like,
red-green elves.
How many more creatures can you jam in this... Or how many more non-creatures can you jam in this elf deck?
Yeah, it's gotta be 15 to 20, that's it. Like,
yeah, you're not gonna you're not gonna get any mana, cause you're, like, got Domri Raids in play, and you're not gonna...
You don't have to play Domri with him. Everyone's putting the two together just because they're the same colors doesn't mean they're the same deck, you know? It really doesn't.
Well, I don't think this guy's got...
I feel like they wanna go in the same deck, and Domri's usually better. Like,
if you got Domri Data, you can still jam 2 to 3 copies of him.
Right, which is why, like, I think the card certainly has some potential. It's like 15 to 20. Like, it's probably like a sideboard card in those decks against control decks, because you can just spit out threats like Garrick Relentless could. But yeah, 40 is always way too much.
$40 cards in the sideboard should be reserved for Legacy format.
So that's our Mythics there. We finished up all our Mythics.
Would you guys like to take a short break before we do the non-Mythic Rares?
We can push it off.
Yep.
Okay, well, before we do that, how would you make the announcement, Jason, that you're supposed to make?
I don't remember there you what go. That was supposed to be.
Oh, so we were asking people. We're going to do a new segment.
Okay, you do it. That's fine.
Yeah, because Jason just failed. He said he had it, but he doesn't. He's not together like everyone thinks he is. He's really as bitter and as angry of a person.
All right, what's the announcement?
He needs a catch line, so we need everyone to come up with Jason's catch line.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so Ryan's the talent. Marcel's catchphrase is baby making podcast. Corbin says, shut up, Corbin, but there's no catchphrase for me. I need a catchphrase.
Wait, Jason, I was just joking around. That's not serious.
No, that's a serious thing. I want our fans to respond like they did for the beer poll when almost 150 of you responded.
No, hold up, Jason, stop. No, stop. All right, no, this is not about you. For the cast, we want people to write in. We're going to do a new segment. We're going to analyze people's trades, and we want you guys to talk about...
What's going to get to that?
No, because you're trying to make it about you. You said... Put their collective efforts in thinking of your catchphrase. You gotta think of a catchphrase. If you ain't thought of one, you don't deserve a catchphrase. So
that's harsh. That's harsh.
It's like having a nickname. That's like, you know, nicknaming yourself. Come up with my catchphrase. No, I'm gonna nickname myself, man.
Alright, fine. So if you wanna put our fans to good use, they can tell us some trades they've made. We're gonna do a new segment where you will tell us a trade you made, and you will have us analyze it for you, and we will tell you which side of the trade we wished we had been on, and go ahead and how are we having them send those in, Marcel?
Oh man, you are the worst. Where are you? Are not the talent.
Send us the side of the trade. If you want to tell us what side you're on, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. I think when we present them on the cast, we will present them without knowing what side the person was on.
Exactly. If you want an example, listen to the cast we did with Marshall from Limited Resources. He had a trade where he was wanting to do his four Scalding Tarns versus Modern Masters Dark Confidant. And we evaluated the trade on different axes. So we want to continue to do something like that. So, you know, if you want an example of that, check that out.
Hey, watch me pull a Marcel. That was episode 61.
Whew.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So let's jump back into the set review. But yeah, send those in. We're looking forward to that segment.
Yeah. Where are they putting them in the
brainstorm
or the emailing?
Yeah. No, brainstorm brew. Cause you don't want no one to steal your idea. So send it to brainstormbrew@gmail.com, not brainstormbrewery, brainstormbrew@gmail. And then we'll pass it on and we'll, shit, send them in. We're going to keep this as continuous so you can send them in whenever you have a trade.
Yeah.
And every week, we hopefully, if you get some, we'll read them off and you'll get your name on the cast. So
that's what I was asking. And you said I wasn't the talent, as if I didn't already know.
All right. So let's get back to your, previously scheduled set review.
Not the talent, not the talent. That's your catchphrase.
Oh.
The talent.
We got the talent and not the talent.
Wow, is that a reference to the television program Dinosaurs?
Oh, the 90s? Good job. Lovely.
I got it.
I don't feel that old.
That show was awesome.
Yeah, I was
on Netflix. It's, it held up. I didn't realize all the families were named after oil companies. That's pretty funny.
I haven't seen that show since I was like 6 years old.
It's on Netflix. Check it out. Okay. We can do Abhorrent Overlord pretty fast because abhorrent is a very good adjective.
See what you did there.
Bulk, fart noise, move on.
All right. Agent of the Fates, $4. This is the death, the heroic whenever you cast a spell on it. Each opponent sacrifices a creature.
I give it a D. I like this card, but I don't think that $4 is right. So.
Yeah, I agree. D.
D. I don't know. What are you going to target him with for the turn on the heroic? Yeah. There's nothing in the set and.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right. A Crowan Horse, also known as Trojan Horse in Theros.
Horse.
Sam Black said, why would you want your opponent to gain 4 life? I think Sam's wrong. I think they could potentially gain way more than 4 life.
It's 50 cents, so a C, because like it's probably not going to get cheaper. I mean, it's bulk, but like that's the Star City price on bulk, so.
Okay.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's a C. Because if something happens, you could do something crazy with this.
I mean, maybe it catches on popularly, like a stuffy doll or whatever. But whatever, it doesn't matter. It's bulk now. It may be better than bulk, but it can't get worse than bulk.
That's respectable. All right, Anax and Chlamyd.
Siamyd.
Siamyd.
Anal Chlamydia.
Anal and Chlamydia.
We'll give this, it's at $2 right now.
It's still, like I said, it's got that price cap because it's in the... Heroes and Monsters. I'm not a fan at $2.
I still think a D. I think it's $1.50. That should be right. Anger of the Gods at $4.
B.
Yeah.
B. I like it.
E. I like this at $4. And $4 on Star City means it's cheaper elsewhere. Go buy these for $2.50 on eBay. You'll be glad you did.
Yep.
Yeah, this card is good. I played with it.
Even if it kind of like levels out, it's still going to spike in the short term because everyone's going to go, oh, fuck, I need 4 of these.
Yeah,
so Jason and I were talking about this before the cast, before you got on, Marcel, and we were talking about like what control will look like. And, you know, a lot of people thought Esper, but like, honestly, like you have to have blue and white because you have to have Sphinx's Revelation. But I think that other color is red because you have the lands for it right now, for one. But like Anger of the Gods and Chained to the Rocks are both very, very important. So yeah. That's why I really like this as a B. I think red, white, blue is going to be like your control going forward.
And people are talking about Anger of the Gods in Modern to like just get the pod decks and the stuff. But I think double red. The decks that are running Pyroclasm can't really run this.
So. That red, white blue probably could, right? It's probably.
Well,
board there or whatever.
I think this car is going to be so powerful, it's going to make Voice of Resurgence drops. So I put it on that level.
It's good against that, yeah. I mean, it is certainly good in Modern in the decks that can cast it. And this I don't kills think it's, everything.
I don't think it's going to be a $7-$8 card. I can't see that.
Okay, but I think this is a B at $4, and I think this is an A at three or lower.
Yeah, I agree. It's okay. Going to be, like, it'll certainly go to 5 or 6 in the short term, I think. Yeah. Like,
I can see it staying at 5 or 6.
Yeah. So. Okay. So,
And Thusa,
Bolt.
Bolt. Yeah. All right.
It's a liability. Like, its ability is not even good. It's like, I can get all my lands killed by Anger.
Shut up, Jason.
Yeah. You get it at, it's just on a turn. That doesn't even work, Jason.
Shut up, Corbin. We don't want to talk about Bolt. This is, move on. Arbor Next. Colossus. Bulk. 75 cents. Yeah, I think it's gonna go to Bulk.
I mean, whatever, it's kinda cool, but like, it's
It'll go down from 75 cents.
Yes, so. So that's a F Bulk. Bulk F.
Triple green. Yuck.
Yeah. Artisan of the Forms. Oh, Artisan of Forms, sorry.
$2 right now. Heroic, it become a copy of a creature in game.
I would say a B.
Really?
Actually.
$2? Yeah,
cause it's a two, it's a clone.
Yeah, it's a clone that's really hard to turn on.
Not necessarily. I don't think so. I think there's going to be, like, maybe not right now. Actually, you know what? It's probably true.
You got a new legend rule. Everyone sees this and thinks, oh, Phantasmal Image. Not me.
It's not Phantasmal. I think this has potential. I still say a B. I think this could go up to, I say a B minus. I think there's potential in this card, and maybe in the later sets, especially, I can see this card going up. I can see it dropping to $1 and maybe buying in at $1, but I can see this card going somewhere.
I wish we had a minute to make you talk about this for another minute so we could get you to say C plus and then say.
I say D. All right. So let's talk Bident of Thassa, the legendary enchantment artifact. Whenever a creature you control deals damage, you draw a card, and you can make your opponent. It's $1.50.
Would you pay $1.50 for Coastal Piracy?
Oh. I didn't play when that card existed.
I'll give it a D. I don't think it's going to crash to Bulk. I don't think any of them are.
I'll give it a C. Whatever. It's a legendary thing. It's $1.50. Like, I don't think it's necessarily going to go up a ton, but it probably trades fine.
Okay.
It's the EDH. Like, whatever. C's fine.
Bone Satter.
This card has real potential.
Yeah, I agree, actually. It's big, like it's a 4/2 for 3 mana, and, you know.
With Flash, which is insane, which can eat all kind of stuff. And then if you do the Bestow, you can create all kind of nastiness. Yeah, $3? I'll give it a C.
I think a lot of people want this to be the next, Wolfie Avenger. Without Regenerate, he's not as oppressive as Avenger was. Having a smaller toughness is not great. His Bestow cost is a little high. I think maybe just playing him EOT and then, you know, serving for 4 at the start of the next turn is probably the best use of this guy.
Yeah, well, it's like, it's also it's protection against Anger of the Gods. Like, you can pump your dude, you can just flash it after the Anger of the Gods, you know, like, it's something that allows you to not get blown out by that card as much. Like, conceivably, you can, like, flash this in on turn 3 and flash an Advent on turn 4 and just dodge all the sorcery removal.
And since he has Flash, if you pay his Bestow cost, you can make the aura as an instant.
Right.
So what do you think at $3?
$3. C plus.
Yeah, he's like, I don't think he's going to go too far above $3, unfortunately. If you can get him for, like, $1.50 somewhere, that I'm a little bit... I'd give it a B at under 3.
Yeah.
I'll give it a C. All right.
Bow of Nylea, $3.
I'll give it a D.
I'll say it. Whatever. If I'm wrong, whatever. I'm giving this an A. It's got 5 abilities. If you're counting, that's 1 more than Jace the Mind Sculptor. That's 2 more than Umezawa's Jitte.
Doesn't it only have 4 abilities?
Nope.
Death Touch.
Giving your creatures Death Touch is an ability.
Right.
You broke standard.
Oh, you're right. Yep. I missed that other thing. Sure.
So,
I still don't.
So you're paying cash? You're paying $3 cash?
Well, we didn't get in at 3. Ryan and I got in around 2, but we're pretty deep on this guy.
So at 3, it's not an A.
Yeah. It's an A at 3. Screw it. What now?
Okay.
It's an A plus at 2.
It's an A plus at 2, it's an A at 3, so everyone listening to the cast, according to Jason, you should just put your money in.
I would say no. What are you gonna do? Tell me I'm not the talent?
No, I'll say it's a D, and we'll go back to this, at our next review.
It doesn't matter what I say, because it's not as ridiculous as Ryan saying Savage Summoning at 8, so.
15. It was 15, right?
What? Was it 15? Good God.
It's a bulk rare on Moto. 0.5.
Celestial Archon.
Well, I'm calling Bo. If we're talking about Bo, I'll put one out there, and I'll call it a C plus. Like, I think 3 is fine. I think people will play it. I don't think it's going to go very high. But yeah. Okay. Next card. Celestial Archon bulk. It's even a pre-release card. So bulk, double.
Yeah. Chain of the Rocks.
It's okay and limited. No. Chain of the Rocks at $4. I think this could be.
I think that's right.
Be in the short term for sure. Like, people are going to scramble to get a force out of these.
Yeah, that's true. Be in the short term, but I think four is right. I think that's a C long term. C minus long term.
Is there any other, like, one mana removal spell at rare we can compare this to? Because Path to Exile hit 5.
This is not Path to Exile.
But it's also not uncommon.
It's also like in standard, which is both good and bad, I guess. Like, but I think four is, like I said, I guess, like, I'm betting on, like, I think red, white, blue will be the control deck or whatever. And I think Chain of the Rocks will be a big part of that. And I think this probably goes above 5 in the short term. So, like, I give it a B.
Yeah, I really like this.
I can see the short term B.
Certainly powerful.
It's great. And it activates God.
Colossus of Atlas.
I haven't even seen this card. Monstrosity 10.
Yeah. Ugh.
It's right. Bulk. That's
Curse
cute.
Of the Swine.
$3.
Man.
I give it a C minus. Like, I don't really love this card.
It's a really bad ref.
Yeah.
Like, if you're blue, just splash some white, man. Well,
take care of the gods. Like, exile target creatures is...
But if you take care of, if you wrath, you're more or less taking care of the gods anyways, like...
No. Well, yeah, I see what you're saying.
By them, or you're like, they can still do their thing, but I actually change this to a D. I don't like this.
I'll say a D plus. I think, D. D's probably right. It's probably more like $1.50.
I'll take care of your god. I'll just give you 10 power to kill me next turn. That's all.
I think I want to go back and listen to Dragon's Maze and all the stuff like, Plasm Capture, the stuff that's like poop now. There's going to be like 5 good cards that come out of Theros. And like, I don't think this is good enough. I think this is less good than cards I liked in Dragon's Maze that went nowhere.
You have a good point. Yeah. Right. That almost pushes a D minus. Yeah, let's go that way.
All right. Daxos of Miletus. Can't be blocked by creatures with power 3 or greater. You can exile cards, gain life, and play it. It's a lot of stuff.
F4. I would give it a B, actually.
I'm going to call this a C. Like, this seems like a very powerful EDH card to me. Like, but I think it probably comes down first.
I think this could see standard. It's not a Gase of Saint Draft. It's not that powerful, but it's pretty powerful. And I think
it's like a control mirror type card because it could generate advantage. I don't know.
Which reminds me of that blue white Kithkin from Eventide. What was that?
It's the Augury Adept.
Yeah.
No, but it can't be blocked. Like, it can't be blocked by creatures. So you can.
I'm viewing this more like a Cold Ice Alky of sorts.
Right. Yeah, like that's. I think it probably have its place.
Cool, Ice Elky being a $4 card.
I agree with Marcel. This is a B. Like, even if it goes down, I think you're fine. I don't think you trade for these aggressively if you're a short term kind of person. But if you're okay with, you know, part of your stock being long term too, I think you have no problem with this. Because like the lowest I see this card dipping is like $2 to $3. Like, you're not going to lose out that big. And there's a potential that it picks it right up in standard and becomes an $8 card too. I mean. I think you're okay trading for these at 4.
That's why, I say C. Like, I'm fine at 4. I'd rather wait and get in at 2 or 3, which I suspect we can.
I think so too, but I mean, this is one of those cards, not to say it's Boros Reckoner, but it's one of those kind of cards that everyone's just kind of back and forth on it, and then suddenly it does well in a tournament, and you know, just a deck you don't see coming, or even it just could be a Vant deck or something. Who knows where it could end up. But you know what I mean? Like, if that happens, like, there's a number of enchantments you can put on this guy that makes him pretty difficult to deal with outside of removal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying I'm like 100% sold on this card, but I'm
unflinching
also,
courage on this guy.
I could go to B minus almost, but I would not go below that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I'm in the same boat, Marcel. Like, I think this card could just as easily be an $8 card as a $2 card.
I think it's much more likely to be two, but that's fine. I'll give it a C. I still think it's fine. Like, I think long term this is a good play, but C is fine with me.
I like this guy less every time I see him, unfortunately. Like, I saw Augury Adept in the first place and like, I don't know. I think I'm letting everybody else's reviews influence mine because I've read a lot of terrible stuff about him online. Yeah, nobody seems to like him.
It's pretty underpowered just in reference to what everyone else is doing at 3 mana.
Yeah.
Hey, so Ryan, real quick, so we get people caught up. So Anger of the Gods, what would you rate that at 4?
Let's see. Anger. Oh, the new Slagstorm?
Yeah.
It's $4. I mean, that's probably a B for me. That's probably a solid B.
That's what
I'm not happy buying in there, but I'm very happy trading for those. Like, even if the card doesn't pan out to be everything it needs to be, it still has enough hype behind it that I think it'll see enough play in the first few weeks to spike, and then you'll get to see whether it's a real card or not. Like, it's going to spike regardless, I think. So, yeah, again, I don't want to buy into them just because I don't think I can sell out of them quick enough if they don't end up holding. Otherwise, I would, I'm A minus B plus.
Yeah, that's okay. What we said too.
So all quick right. Fire, we got Artisan of Form, which is that two cast cost heroic copy creature. Do you think that's good at two?
How about we just do this? I'll just start. Where did I leave off? And I'll just give a quick.
No, Chain of the Rocks. Go to Chain of the Rocks. We only have like a couple cards that are really we're worried about.
Chain of the Rocks. What do you think at $4?
Let's see. I'm just gonna start here. Agent of Fates, B. Horse. I mean F. Whatever. Fulcrum. Annex, I'm actually like, this isn't one of the pre-release cards, it's not a promo or anything, right? There's nothing I don't know about this.
It is in the Theros, the dual deck.
Okay, it's in the dual deck. Then yeah, like, I'm B there too. Huh. Yeah, Anger of the Gods, already covered that. Setson, she's a pre-con, no real potential there. Arbor Colossus, whatever, F, cost too much, I don't even read what it does. Artisan of Forms, is this a pre-release card?
No.
I'm like B plus there. I like the card a lot. I think any 2-mana clone effect needs to be paid attention to. People really dismiss Phantasmal Image to start with too. So, not saying this is as good, but I mean, you have to watch out for those abilities. Biden is like a B. I mean, anytime you can draw that many cards, no matter what it's in, I guess seems relevant. Bone Satyr, I'm like, yeah, B minus there. Bow, I'm like B plus, A minus there. I mean, I bought in at $2 a piece, and I bought a lot of copies. I like this card a lot, but we've already talked about that. Archon F, Chain of the Rocks, B. Again, same thing with the Slagstorm. Like, it's getting enough hype that even if it doesn't see immediate play, like, it's gonna be fine. Colossus, cost too much F. Curse, B minus. And there we go, we're caught up.
Alright, so we got Ember Swallower, which is gonna be bulk.
Yep, free con card.
We need Conley Woods.
Fable Hero at $2.
Conley Woods would be able to tell us if he's gonna break Ember Swallower or not.
And the answer is no.
Okay.
But Fable Hero at $2, that I would almost give that a B plus.
Yeah.
A.
I'll give it almost. A B. Like, it has a potential spike harder than it's gonna sink.
Over $2, yeah, I think there's more of an upside on that.
Especially if you can buy it cheaper than $2. It just, yeah. It's...
Like, I'll be happily buying these for $1 to $1.50 sitting in, like, a booth this weekend.
Yeah, this seems breakable.
Like, it's, yeah, there's a lot of things that make it good. Yeah, it's a B. Like, there's only two left in stock on the pre-order at $2. This seems pretty solid to me. Craig Wesco is gonna play it.
Surely.
Fire Drinker Satyr.
$2.
I mean, Marcel, you were talking about this guy, like, I really don't like him, but I mean, what were you saying about him before the cast?
In aggro deck, if you're gonna have a aggro red deck, he's gonna be in it. And that's just gonna be part of that, because
do you really think so, though? Do we have any other options? Cause we have Cackler.
Hey, you have Cackler and him. You want-
No, you've got the 1-1 goblin, too.
Loyalist.
You want to run 2-mana, if you're running this sort of red deck, you want to be running 2-power 1-mana guys.
Yeah, I would rather run 4 of him, 4 Cacklers, and maybe 2 of the Legion Loyalists. Yeah, I would, if you're going to play an aggro deck, you would definitely play 4 of
them.
There's
so much hype here.
I would actually rather be running the +1/+0 common when a red creature comes into play.
Honestly. I would not.
Like, this card just, oh.
There's hype.
You don't care. You don't care about being hurt.
You're talking about how half the field's gonna be aggro? Like, how miserable is this card versus another aggro deck?
It's not great.
You can't even play this thing as a blocker. It's fucking awful.
Yeah, you can't.
Yeah, he's gonna use your whole turn three. You're gonna use, or your whole turn two to trade with an Omen Speaker just to take two damage.
Alright.
Yeah.
But I think there's enough hype here that you almost wanna buy into. It. Like, we have the cards that we like that we give E's. This is a card that I don't like that I'm gonna give a B. Just because I think there's gonna be so much hype, he could really go up.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you kinda talked me into the same thing. Yeah. I can understand that. I don't want to buy these by any means at two, even though they could be four. But, I mean, this card's like Vexing Devil to me. Like, I didn't like that card either, but yet that card spiked because, like, Timmy's loved it. I don't think this is the same situation. I don't think it's going to be nearly as much as Vexing Devil, but it's the same, like, pre-release kind of situation for me.
And TSG, he's saying buy foil copies for Cube, I guess. So
yeah, I can understand because it's going to replace Jackal Pub.
Great.
So which then, sucks, actually. I think it's like
the only cubes are out there that you're gonna.
Whatever, don't care. All right, next card, Fleece Mane Lion.
This is one of those ones I really like, but I have to give an F.
Yeah,
$8.
No. $8 is too many.
Actually, I give this a D. Like this, the green white's definitely a thing. Everyone's already established that. There's gonna be actually, I believe, multiple versions. I think there's gonna be green white tokens. There's gonna be like green white aggro, green light hexproof, whatever. Like. This card's gonna find a home in this a couple of packs, regardless, and it's very good, so it may hold the price.
This card's an F. This card's an F, cause,
$8.
I mean, yes, you can make it indestructible. You're looking at the pure upside, like, we got Call of the Conclave in play, and it's barely, you barely see it in play in standard.
Oh, this is way better. Right, I understand, but this is way better. Has, yeah. It's
not this even can populate Call of the Conclave.
Sure, like I said, I'm not saying I'm in love, like, I like this card a lot, I have decks I want to play it in, but
how
I'm
many
not,
copies are you buying at $8?
I'm not buying any, that's why I said D. It's not like I'm trying to say you should go buying in on this card, I'm just saying, like, I think that it has the potential to hold $8 if it sees enough play. Because people, again, it's one of those situations where we have so much coverage now, that there's, like, if any card sees play in the first week or two, it'll at least hold its value. It's not going to necessarily go up. Unless it was underpriced. I don't think this card's underpriced, but I don't necessarily know that it's extremely overpriced. I don't think there's any monetary gain. The best you're going to do is break even. So you definitely get out, but I don't think you have to, like, fire sale them.
I can't believe you talked for, like, a minute to basically say D.
I say fire sale. This is an F. It's a $2 card, maybe $3 card. I do not see $8 anywhere near where it's going to live. No way, no how.
I say five because it's a D to me. It's super good, but it's a D. That's why I have a ranking system. Gift of Immortality. This is probably a combo card, I guess.
This seems abusable.
It's $2. When an enchanted creature dies, return it to its owner's control and put Gift of Immortality on it again.
That's pretty sick.
So you can't, like, go infinite right there with Voice of Resurgence.
Correct. Yeah, no. Like, this card is, if that did that, this card would absolutely be like an A+ on at $2. But like as is, I'm okay trading for them. I don't think they have like the casual. This is another one of those ones where like I think the casual market will at least carry over the price. Like I don't think this will ever just be bulk.
Agreed.
C. So I mean, I'm B to C on this.
I'm good okay. C minus.
Seems abusable.
Okay.
$2 is a little high though.
There's a lot of.
I expect to sell a ton of these on TCG Player for $2 to $3 in the first month.
Yeah. Alright, so next card.
At least at 50 cents to a dollar.
Hammer Purphoros.
This seems, $3 seems low.
I think it's a D.
$3 seems right to me. Yeah. Maybe even a C minus, like probably coming down a little.
This C's just, I've just seen so many people excited about this that are actually really good at Magic. But I'm looking at the card, I'm like, I don't know why.
I'm so glad you're off this card.
It's a strictly better hammer, fires the Yevmaya, if you ask me.
Strictly
better.
Yeah.
Oh.
Brian, what did you
say? Fires of Yavimaya was good because it had an ability that didn't require mana.
Yeah, but this ability is actually, it creates a card advantage in a way, you know.
But the decks that everyone's talking about playing with the god and stuff, like, what situation are you sacrificing lands in this deck? Like, you're trying to get the form.
I played this in beta. I got a beta deck with this, and I tried. And you don't want to play this card until turn 5, which is real shitty. You don't want to play this, and then you want to play a 2-drop that you get in with the haste, because you never really have an opportunity that you want to spend your turn
That's
to drop
so
this.
That's so gross, though. Like, you're not playing this until 5?
Yeah, so
like, I'd rather play the dragon in this set, and I don't even like that card.
Yes, I'm really, I mean, I wanted to play with this card, so but when the card comes out and then you're able to sacrifice the land because you're at a point where you don't need the mana, you don't need the lands, and you get a 3-3, that's actually really good. So I'm not completely down on it.
It is really good, but it just, I feel like there's so many other things you want to be doing in a deck where you're getting to the point where you're having 5 or 6 mana. Like, you're not talking about a red aggro deck anymore.
It could be a control deck that you got. This could fit into, like, you know, say a control deck with the Anger of the Gods, and all of a sudden
I could see that.
Down, and then all of a sudden all your big threats come in and they're hitting hard. And on top,
yeah, I think that's where most of these equipment come into play, because the small effect isn't good enough in an aggro deck. It's not helping you kill your opponent fast enough that it's going to be relevant. Whereas in like control can actually use the small effect and then utilize the, you know, sacrifice the land in this case when it needs it.
All I know is that players who are better than me are excited about this card.
I mean, how often in control do you want to sacrifice a land though? That's the other problem.
You put this, okay, I guess we're still going to have this conversation. We talked about this last week, and I still say that like, it's probably a 2 of a new sideboard in a red deck against control decks because it gives you a bunch of reach. But I still think $3 is like the correct price. So I give it a C.
Okay. Like, yeah, I'm C to D on this. Like, I'm not in a rush to get rid of them at 3.
D+. Hero's Downfall at 5.
That's about right. It'll be a $5 card. So I'll give it a D.
I'm a B to C on this, and I'm not a B because I want to like actively go seeking them. But if I see them in a binder, I'm going to try and get them because I think they will move quickly. I think they're going to be great sales for me.
I agree with that. I think they'll be very popular. So I think $5 is the correct price. So, like, I give it a C+.
I give it a B. I think it should be, like, cheaper than that. So.
Now, this is going to be the new gold standard of removal.
Okay.
People are calling it murder boar. I agree.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, 100-handed one at $1. I'll give it a D. Nope.
F. Whatever.
Bulk.
Labyrinth Champion. Bulk.
Bulk.
He's actually so good and limited.
I wish he cost one less. If he cost one less, I would love this card.
Nemesis Charlatan.
Bulk.
Bulk.
Miscutter Hydra.
People have talked about this.
I still give it a D. I don't think it's as good as people want. And at $4, I think it's half that price, at least.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not sold on this card. Like,
Bastwood
on turn 4, you're playing a 3-3 with haste.
Yeah, it's
and
pretty
protection
bad.
From one color in a format where we're playing 2 or 3 minutes.
Now there was like a card like this several years ago that people would board in against the control decks, and I don't remember what it was called, but it was the same thing where it had like an X boss.
Ragnos?
Yeah, and against control decks.
This is kind of like Giant Solifuge.
It wasn't the card I was thinking of either, but yeah, I give it a D.
Yeah.
It was a mythic out of like an 11, but anyways, it doesn't matter.
All right, Night Howler at $1.50. No, I'll give that F.
F, DM, whatever.
No way. Even with this card, like, this is actually one I know it's the game day promo, but is that it, right? Is it the promo for,
it's a top 8 game day promo, I think.
Right, that's it?
Yeah.
I like this card a lot. I'm gonna say A- to B+ on this.
It's a more expensive White of Precinct 6. How much
and
do you play this deck?
And which are both in standard with Putrefy and a bunch of things that are putting stuff in graveyards.
Yeah, and a bunch of stuff to take stuff out of graveyards like Deathrite Shaman and Scavenging Goons, which actually see play.
We had that with Bone, whatever, Bone Splitter or that Bone Hoarder.
All I'm saying is this guy, like, ignore the bestow. Just look at him as a creature, like, he's a 3-mana guy that can be pretty huge. It's all graveyards.
He had Bone Hoarder.
He costs
Bone
one more Hoarder. Mana and has one less power and toughness than White of Precinct 6.
We had
Bone Hoarder. But right is only equal to the, it's only equal to one graveyard, it's not each.
Let's move on.
This is a D.
I want to come back to this one in a month.
Nick sells Shrine of the Nyx. I give this an F at $10. I think you should sell.
Yep.
It's a thespian stage.
I think.
Yeah, it's going to drop down, and then you're going to want to pick up every copy you can find.
Yeah, buy these at $1, just like thespian stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guy's Revenge. That was a card I was talking about.
So Polish Crusher at $2.
You did this. You did the same thing I did.
I would almost say a B.
Polish Crusher.
Yeah, Polish Crusher. Glad we all put an H on there.
Polish, yeah.
I hate you, Polish Demolays. This is the Wizards Legal Department.
$2.
I would get that a B minus.
Got a bunch of abilities.
Trample, protection.
So much text. I'll give him a B so I don't have to read him.
Really? All right.
Monstrosity of 3. I mean, that's meh. Like,
a mere 6 mana.
He's well costed. Like, this guy feels like Chameleon Colossus to me. I don't know why, but like, just within the set and within the context, like, he feels like Chameleon Colossus.
What does that even mean? He feels
I
think he feels that same kind of role where, like, he's not gonna be in the aggro deck. He's gonna be, like, that mid-range creature where control, like, has something where they're attacking and can deal damage with, but at the same time, like, has relevant abilities too.
Yeah, and protection from enchantments. As we get more enchantments.
Yeah. Whatever.
I'm speaking now. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm definitely B on this. I like this card.
Protection from enchantments. Don't underestimate it. We'll see it.
Come. Yeah, I agree.
And then you can get a 2-for-1 if you give him monstrosity. So,
I mean, at worst, remember this card has protection from the gods.
Yeah. So go ahead, Corbin. Thank you for being very kind, and you tip my hat to you, gentlemen.
I'll give it a D. Like it's got a lot of relevant stuff. Like, but I don't know. Like you said, they don't really know where this finds a home. And the aggro decks probably don't want it. The control decks probably aren't red-green, like, so it's a D to me.
D, and I wish we could go back in time and spend about 10 seconds total talking about him.
Yeah, all right. Here's an interesting card. Prognostic Sphinx, it's $1. You can discard a card to give it hexproof, but you have to tap it. And when it attacks, you scry 3, which is a lot of scrying. It's a 3/5.
I would give this a A-? No, A-.
I'm going to give it a B.
Really? You want this fills the same role as Aetherling.
It's $1, which means it's a throw-in. Like,
I would, yeah.
Right there. B. Like, I don't want to quite buy into him. Like, if I can find somewhere I can buy him for 50 cents or less, like, I might be interested in buying 100 copies just to see what they do, but yeah, I can't commit to it.
I like this as much as I like Dragon's Maze Bulk Rares.
Scry 3 is a lot. So, like.
A lot every turn, and then it got protection. Like, you can protect it.
Like, so, like, I mean, it's like a B to me because, like, at $1, you're using it to fill out trades. Like, it's a throw in for trade. And this will be in the format when Aetherling is in, which obviously is looking very, very far down the road, but, like, why not? It's a bot.
All right.
I would love to substitute the word Sphinx of the Chimes for every time you said Prognostic Sphinx in that.
Sphinx of the Chimes costs 6 mana, bro.
Okay.
This is not Sphinx of the Chimes, and maybe I'll go B. You're right. I don't want to, hold up.
Okay.
Jason, shut up. Fuck. Damn. It's hanging up out of shoes all the time. No, and people don't send Jason no more emails. It goes right to his head. You should just hear it.
But anyway. What do you got to say, Marcel?
I'll go B plus because maybe not spending cash on him, but yeah, there's so much potential. I think you could fit this in a control deck, and this could be just another creature you could protect very easily. You know what? You could eat my ass too, Jason, because I know you like that. Toss salads and everything. Go get your ranch.
Calm down, alright. Next card. We've got, Prophet of Krufix. This card's $4. I guess it's an EDH card. I took the D. It'll come down first.
Yeah, I'd say a D. I think it might see play in standard. There's some pretty crazy stuff you could do with this. And Flash is pretty sick. But $4 is too expensive, so D, yeah.
Pick up foils.
Yeah, that seems like the play.
There's no way this is an $8 foil. This is Progenitor Mimic all over again.
Man, okay. I'm super B on this card. Like, I like this card a lot.
You think it's gonna go, you like it for standard or what?
Like, I don't even know. Like, I think it's a really safe B because no matter what in the long term, like, this card is bonkers for casual EDH, whatever.
But if
you buy it at 4, then it goes to 2, and then in 3 years it goes back to 4. Yeah, you're like, aha, right. I was right.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't feel great. I don't even think so. I think in the short term, like, you're gonna know whether it's gonna see the standard play before this drops off from $4, because you have all the EDH players trying to get them immediately, which means they'll hold value for at least a month or two. And by then you know, like, and then you can just drop them for what you got them for, if you have a good outlook.
I think you could get them, you know, for $2 before the next set.
I agree, but that doesn't mean I don't think you should buy it now. I think you have both the opportunity to get them at 4. If they drop, dump them at 4, and then pick them back up at 2. Or if they go up slightly because a lot of people are in demand for them, even if it is just the casual market flooding it right off the bat. Like, these could be 6. You never know. This card could see standard play. Like,
oh.
I like it. Doesn't have a deck. So
I think it could see standard play.
Everybody wants to brew with this card. Like, it doesn't matter if you'll admit it or not, but everybody looks at this card and goes, man, and something comes to their head. Like, somebody's going to...
What was the last 2-power, 5-mana cost creature that saw play that wasn't named Kiki Jiki?
Maloku.
Right. Master Biomancer.
Master Biomancer only costs 4.
Yeah, and, Maloku was a very long time ago. Creatures have come a long way since then. I don't know, this card definitely doesn't seem standard-ish to me. It feels like this is gonna be a buck, at which point you pick him up for EDH, so I give this an F.
Try to get foils at 8, that's all I care.
Alright. So let's go to Psychic Intrusion, which is a bulk.
It's got a lot of text, so I assume it's bulk.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even read it. What's it doing? Anything interesting?
No. So you're exiling a card from their hand that you can cast later, and you can use any mana to cast it. That seems real bad.
That's bulk.
5-mana sorcery.
Fixes a Pandemonium. Is
were you getting an H?
PHX, right? PYX?
No. PHX.
Oh, it costs 5 mana?
Fixus of Pandemonium.
This has got a lot of text too.
Oh, yeah. Casual players don't like reading a lot of text.
I feel like this card is so cheap that like it has enough text where you can pick them up at 49 cents as throw-ins and they're fine. Does it do anything relevant? Let me see.
No, like you and the opponent both mill cards and then you put everybody's permanents into
play. Oh no, this will be worth picking up because like you're gonna have the same people who play like Worldfire and all those cards, like looking for them at least. Like
I think you get foils. People that want this want it in foil and they don't want them in regular.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, there's plenty of people looking for one for their Warp World deck. I think it'd be easy to trade out.
And this has 34 copies still in the guide. I don't know.
It's a Hell Vault.
It is for sure. I'm not saying it's a good card.
And Hell Vault is at least a bulk mythic. This doesn't even have that going for it.
All right, so next up. Minotaur Lord for $1. Pick him up.
Yeah. This is an A. $1? You shitting me? It's a Minotaur Lord.
Well, I'm not buying, but I'll trade for him. It's a B.
Really?
Okay. I will buy these at $1. I bet they're cheaper elsewhere.
Well, you got 21 to go buy Star City.
I'm buying them right now.
I mean, how many Minotaurs?
It is?
How many competitive Minotaurs? I mean, you might as well go snap up your Didgeridoos too, right?
It's $1 Lord, so. You
know. I mean,
I'm gonna have to take your guys' opinion because I don't think so.
That's my shopping cart.
I'm actually with Marcel on this one. Like, I'm fine trading for him because I think, like, they'll hold value, but I don't really, what other Minotaurs are there that are good besides Reckoner?
Reckoner?
No, right. So you just play Reckoner. You don't need to play anything for Reckoner to be better.
Sweet. I've got a 4/4 Reckoner sometimes. Other times I've got a 2/3 for 3.
But you want a 2/3
for 5. Oh shit, it has trample, my bad.
You want a 2/3 for 5.
I understand, but that 2/3 for 5 does a hell of a lot more than this card does.
Hey man, well right, I agree, this card's probably not good in standard.
That 2/3 for 5, if not answered on my turn, lets me play a creature before my opponent gets to kill it.
Right, if you still have creatures in your hand on turn 6. But anyways, it doesn't matter. So like, for $1, this is probably not gonna see standard play, but it's still like a casual ward, so it's a B. Right. Like, I mean, it's Minotaurs, whatever.
I'll take it. $1. So Reaper of the Wilds. Ooh, that's $3.
D.
What did you say, Jason?
D is in dog shit.
I'll give it a D. It's not horrible. Shit, a 4/5 for 4 with some abilities seem kind of cool. I don't know about this.
D is in death touch isn't all that relevant.
I'll give it a C, man. Like, I don't really know what kind of deck this would go into, but it's got a lot of relevant abilities.
Would you pay $3 for Deadbridge Goliath?
Yeah, where are the relevant abilities you're saying?
Well, whenever a creature dies, scry, that's kind of powerful, right? And it can be affected. Like,
it's just a hex proof. I didn't get to that line yet, my bad.
Like, it's got, like I say, it's, maybe some sort of like Barrels Reaper deck. I don't know. Like, I mean, it's $3. I'll give it a C. Like, the power level is high on it, so.
I'll give it a D. I think $3 is a little too expensive for this card for it to have at home yet.
I'll call it a C.
Alright. So Reverent Hunter.
Reverent. Whenever it enters the battlefield, put a number of 1/1 counters on equal to your devotion to green. So at the minimum, it's a 2/2 for 3. That seems bulkish.
I like this card.
I mean, he's more likely going to be a turn 1 elf, turn 2, 3/3.
I'd go with C+.
Like, are you super happy with a Nessian Courser that's garbage after a Wrath?
No.
I mean, I'd give him a C+. I actually think he'll play into the green decks pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one of those cards like you were talking about, Corbin. It's like a throw-in where there's no real loss if it doesn't do anything, because it's not, like, it's got enough to it where a buck, like, you can always get a dollar for it. But at the same time, I'm not super excited about, like, I can't think of a deck where you absolutely need to play it.
I'm giving it a D. Like, it just
I'm giving him an F.
Alright.
Worse than everything else, three mana.
Shipbreaker Kraken.
This art is sweet.
It is great, but it's an F.
Yes. I can't wait till somebody turns it into a guru land.
Alright, so we got Soldier of the Pantheon, right?
Pantheon at $4.
I like this card, but I still have to give it a D.
This card's nuts.
I give it a C-. I think it's a little high at four, but I think that's about right for the price. Yeah.
This is a B at $3.
It's not quite it's Champion of the Parish.
$4. I think it's like a C probably, actually.
I think it's better, Ryan.
You think it's better than Champion of the Parish?
It's got protection from, not to mention it's too powerful one man.
It's got protection from a lot of things, but I wouldn't say everything. I mean, there's plenty of monocolored cards that are playable.
Right. I mean, yeah, that's true, but it's got a lot of protection and it's a 2-power one mana creature.
Doesn't mean much. That's not.
Champion
Parish was good because it was a 3-3, it was a 4-4, and a 5-5.
Right. I think that's a terrible comparison, but like
it scaled well. Like that's what I'm saying. Like that's what you have to compare it to. If you're trying to go mono white aggro, you need a creature that scales well. And like this just doesn't really do it.
But it is a human that works good in the black white human deck that's already there. That's not going to lose a whole lot come rotation.
I agree. Green white decks.
The real question becomes. Is it going to be in multiple decks? Because if it's only in one deck, $4 is like either right or too much. Yeah. So
I'll give it a C. I think it's right, but it's a little maybe C-minus somewhere. It's a little less than what it should be, but I don't think that's bad.
I'll agree with C-minus because yeah, like I think this card's really powerful. I think with as many, I think it'll go in a lot of decks, but like $4 is probably going to be a little too much.
Yeah, that seems fun.
All right, Jason, you want to chime in, or we want to move to the next one?
No, I don't care.
All right. Spear of Heliod, $3. The white legendary enchantment artifact. It's an anthem to creatures you control with +1. And for 2 white and a colorless tap to destroy a creature that dealt damage to you this turn at $3. It's a weird card.
I like the card, but I think $3 is not where it needs to be.
It's a better Glorious Anthem. At the very worst, this is a Glorious Anthem that you can also use to kill shit.
Yeah.
But like, there's no deck that wants it constructed.
Exactly.
This is mostly gonna be like an EDH/casual card.
I mean, is there not gonna be like a mono white or a white green aggro that could support this? I'm not saying it'll be great, but.
You don't wanna let them hit you first.
Right, but I mean, just for the Glorious Anthem effect is what I'm saying.
I'd rather like just play like a Loxa Smiter or something on 3. Like I'd rather play an actual creature.
I agree most of the time, but I mean, Glorious Anthem saw play.
Anthems are good when you have cards that make multiple dudes at once. So like, if you're in the, Gather the Townsfolk is rotating, like, if there's enough cards to form a deck where you're making multiple bodies with one card, then this gets better, I guess. Like, but other than that, it just, like, I don't really think those pieces are there.
I mean, I guess I just see cards like Voice Resurgence where like, you know, they're having to wrath twice and you get to hit a lot harder when your guys that are still are stick around get to hit, you know,
like Voice is already good, you know.
This
like,
will never go above $3.
Yeah, I agree. Ever. I think this is like a C.
Alright, I'll call this a C-.
D. Alright.
D. It'll never go above 3.
Steam Augury.
How is this only $3?
I know, B.
I'm gonna call this B.
I'm gonna call it...
It's a 4 of in the decks that want it.
At $2 is an A. At $3 is a B.
When we talked about this last week, or whenever, I didn't really like it, because I was like, why are you gonna be blue-red? But like, then we got Chain to the Rocks and Anger of the Gods, so like, blue-red seems pretty solid, like, I don't necessarily know if it's a 4 of, because like this, in Sphinx's Revelation, you probably just can't jam 8 of them into your deck. But at $3 to be, I'll pick it up.
Oh, we're probably all wrong. We're probably making fun of the people that like Fire Drinker Satyr because they're dumb and don't realize that Jackal Pup wouldn't be good now, when we're like not realizing that a reverse Factor Fiction wouldn't be good now.
There's so much hype.
Who cares? Like, even if it's not good, there's so much hype. Marcel, it's not always about you, man.
Marcel, what do you got to say?
This card is good. It's a skill-intensive card. It brings skill back to the game. This is a perfect blue-red card on top of that. I think this, you know, really is an Izzet card, and I think it's great. Like, you create a 4-for-1.
And amen. Amen, Moso. Like, 100%.
The game. Like, you can bluff them to death. I love it.
Yep, I'm about to go buy a bunch of copies right now, I think, actually.
Izzet cards in this set are way better than Izzet cards in Izzet.
Yeah, awesome. For real.
Hey, we had Teleportal.
Well, like this is a Chimera.
The Genius was good. That was very Izzet. Yeah,
that was a good Izzet card. But like this and the Chimera are just like perfect Izzet cards.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Swan Song, $5.
Oh, wait, hold on. Before we move on, it should be important to note. I'm not sure how relevant this will be in 3 days because most people will realize it now. But eBay is actually higher on the card than retail is.
Huh? Oh, wow.
Steam Augury. I mean, the Chinese copies, which are usually significantly cheaper, are the same price or higher. There's bids going over 13 to 14 for playsets.
Well, maybe we know what we're talking about. Swan Song, $5, one blue counter, instant enchantment or sorcery, but give them a bird. A 2/2.
How much does this cost for foils? That's all I care about.
Yeah, this is a vintage and legacy card.
I mean, this is a standard card too. I'm playing this card standard. It's a catch-all. Control loves these kind of cards.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same reason Thoughtseize is good.
Yeah,
like,
the more
things that you give an ability to do, the more you're willing to pay for it. And a 2/2 is not that big a price to pay into control.
Thoughtseize actually catches everything, though, right? So you just compared a card that actually catches everything to a card that catches...
a lot of things.
That catches not everything.
This is a Pact of Negation.
This card is nuts.
This is a Pact of... This is... You use it to... enable your combos and counter their must counters to stop their combos.
This card,
I think it's more of a modern Legacy and Vintage card.
I think this card is a F at $5 in the regular, and I think you just buy foils.
I think it's a B at $5.
I don't.
I think it's a D. Man, it doesn't counter creatures. That's the big nail in the coffin. Like,
I think sweet, you pick them up. I think you pick them up for $2, $1 to $2 later on in the season.
What you're missing though is like the kind of deck that's running this is also running Supreme Verdict and other, and like Azorius Charm and stuff. Like, you're not worried about the creatures. Like, you don't need to counter the creatures. What's important are the instants, sorceries, enchantments, and unfortunately artifacts is not in here, but if like those three alone make me want to play this card in standard. Like, this card is going to see a lot of play.
Well, I hope it's those three alone since those are the only three it has.
I understand. Like, I'm just saying that's a major chunk of the format.
All right.
Next, Sylvan Caryatid. $6. It's the 03 that Birds of Paradise Defender Hexproof.
Oh, it's six.
$6. D. I like this card, but D at $6.
I do too.
Yeah, D. I'll go with that. It's a good card.
I'm gonna say C.
Yeah. The thing to keep in mind is that Birds of Paradise, even being printed a million times, is usually always about $5 when it's in standard. So like, this is not Birds of Paradise.
It's Utopia Tree, and playing Utopia Tree felt real bad.
I understand, but Utopia Tree, we also had Birds of Paradise in the format. Like, this time around, like, we're taking for granted the fact that we don't have Farseek anymore. Like, this effect's gonna be far more relevant right now.
Three toughness is not two toughness in this format. Look at how many.
Hexproof is very relevant.
Look at how many two power creatures we've talked about already. Like, throwing down a three toughness dude that is contributing to your game plan is very good to me. Yeah. Like, I think it's probably going to end up being like 4 to 5, but like, I'm still fine picking them up at this price just to have them because I think it's good and people want them.
I give it a D. I think it's more like a 4, 3 to 4, but it's a good card.
If you want these to play with, it won't feel too bad to pay six.
Yeah. So let's move into the Temple Cycle. These are all at $6 for all of them. And I think, you know, how much are the Shocklands? How much are they going for?
10 to 12.
10 to 12. Okay. So I would say the blue black and the black white are probably B's to B pluses, and everything else is probably a C.
So okay, I think the green red one is going to be very important because of like World Clan and stuff. I think the red white one is going to be important.
Actually, because, yeah, red white one because the red white blue control. So yeah, red white one is definitely probably going to be up there too.
Yeah, like I'm less excited about blue-black, and I'm less excited about blue-green. And black-white's probably fine, too.
Red-green and red and blue-green are probably the worst, but then Bant could go in. But I think Esper really just benefits a lot from this, and they're going to want these lands.
I think red, green, and red, white are the color combinations where you're going to want an untapped land on turn one. I don't think black, blue, and blue, green, and black, white care.
But at some point, like, you have to just cast your dudes. Like, yeah, I mean, at some point, like, you just have to have that mana.
Yeah. It hurts. It's really, they're really good in control decks, though.
Yeah, they let you keep loose hands.
Yeah. You can just be like, okay, let's go with this two land.
I think I really like white. But that said, like, all of them at $6 pre-order, like, I mean, they're probably going to come down to like $4 or $5. At which point I'm super picking them up. But like, I probably just, I say a C plus to a B minus just because I want all of them anyways, because you want to have these because people are going to need them.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. Red white's probably going to be the highest one. And then I'll probably go black, white, black, blue, and then black, white.
Yeah. So like, I mean, if you look at the, if you're looking for like similar mana fixing, look at the block decks, even like the green red decks or the green white decks, they play some number of guild gates just because they have to have it. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of what I look at, say like, yeah, you really want that untapped green on turn one, but at some point you just have to have your colors, even if it costs something. Right. So, Botsies? $30?
F. What happened here was they had it at 20, sold out. They had it at 25, they sold out. The people that are buying this right now are the people that want to play it in Modern and want to have copies of Thoughtseize. These aren't people that are going to want this for Standard that are pre-ordering it to play with it. So this is people like, holy shit, $70 Thoughtseize is $25? Exactly. Let's buy a playset so I can have them. That was just people being impatient. The 30 is not the real price.
I agree.
You don't think so?
Nope. 20 is.
I actually gonna go with a B on this one.
Alright, so give us a comparison, Ryan.
I don't really have a comparison. I have knowledge from the floor from Detroit, and I know that every dealer was selling them at 50 to 60 and selling out for the old ones because people didn't want to wait. It doesn't matter about the alt art thing. Like, if people are willing to buy Thoughtseizes at 50 still, people are willing to buy Thoughtseizes at 30. Plain and simple. Like, sure, some people are gonna like the new art, some people are gonna like the old one. It's a $30 plus card.
It may see like a Liliana $70 weekend and then come back down to reality where it'll stay at 15 to 20.
I don't think so. I think $30, Thoughtseize is another one that's like catch all, like this is the catch all card, right? Like everyone hates this card, it's always run in every format.
But I think you should be able to provide an example of a similar card to, like, Snapcaster. Snapcaster fits the bill.
Scavenging Ooze is already going way back up, and everyone was like misevaluating that. Like, Scavenging Ooze could be $30 for as much play as that's seeing by the end of the year.
Scavenging Ooze is not. Like, it was printed less than Thoughtseize was the first time, and it's $20. Snapcaster Mage has been printed once, and it's $20, and sees just as much eternal play as Thoughtseize. Like,
disagree. Very much disagree. I don't think you understand how many decks play Thoughtseize. Like, everything plays this card. Like,
I mean, it's also been printed twice. Like, and it's $10 more than Snapcaster. Like, if you can't, to me, if you can't provide any card in the history of Magic that's followed a similar price trajectory, it seems...
Because you're looking at one of the best cards in Magic. Compare it to what doesn't exist.
Alright. So we have a disagreement. We'll come back to this.
We're going to come back to this episode because I think this is going to be a good one.
If there were somebody that wanted this card to be 30, it was Star City who initially put this at 20.
Well, you are right. We have a lot of disagreements on this episode.
I know the MTG Finance subreddit people have, somebody said that they looked back on people's calls for, the last set, and someone said, I'd really like this from Brainstorm Brewery. So if anybody, enterprising fans out there want to, you know, put us all down on record, I would love to get back at this in 3 months, 2 to 3 months.
Hold us accountable. I got some of our scores from the last ones. So if anybody wants to go through that, I think I got our first few ones already done and we can combine the data and create something comprehensive that we could go against. All right. So, what about this Titan of Fire of Eternal Bulk?
Eternal Bulk. Yep. Triad of Fates.
Bulk.
It's got real potential, but it seems too slow to do anything.
It's very slow. It's legendary and it's a dollar. Like, maybe this is an EDH general, maybe not.
Oh.
So it does a lot of things. I'll call it a C minus because whatever. It's a dollar again. It's a throw in for a legendary creature that does a lot of stuff. Like,
that's true. A dollar could seem right.
Yeah, that's like, the I mean, when I'm looking
at stuff, these stuff that's a dollar, like, if they do anything in EDH or even have fringe standard playability, like, I'm fine having them because, like, a dollar is a throw-in for a trade, you know? Like, it's not, you're not really giving that much to get them. You're not going out and trading for 10 of them. You're getting one or two as throw-ins.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with that. Like, I feel the same way about it. It's not quite where you want to, like, it's not quite good enough to buy in, even for casual, but I'm happy trading for them.
All right, Timeret, the Murder King, does a lot of stuff.
I'd say C. I think if you're going to play an Exavia deck, you're going to probably want to play some number of copies of this in there. I don't think it's going to be a 4 of at all, but I think a 2 to 3 could be comfortable.
This How winner. Does this square up to the other 2 drops in that deck, though? I mean, like, don't get me wrong, I kind of like the card, but I just don't know if the format is slow enough for another Undead Gladiator.
There's not many 2 drops in those colors that are pretty effective, actually.
Spike Jester.
Spike Jester. I guess you're not really running Burning Tree.
Ash Sellet.
There's the 1-2-3 Death Touch. The 2-3 Death Touch guy.
You got the chain. The 3-2.
Yeah, Gore Clan. Yep, Gore Clan Chainwalker. Yeah, I mean, there's a number of cards that are competing for the spot. So, I mean, I don't really see any harm in picking this guy up. Like, he's a legendary creature. He'll probably see some play in EDH. Who knows? It's like a dollar or two is fine for him. Like, again, throw-in kind of card.
I'd be fine with it at a buck at $2. No. All right. Here's one. The Whip of Erebos. $4. Creatures you control have lifelink. 4 mana. Tap it to give a creature on Earth, basically.
$4. I'd say F.
Let's say he's got a lot in stock.
It does really cute stuff with, what's that fucking guy? The white-black guy from Dragon's Maze.
Obsidat.
Because if you exile him, like, Art Halvey was saying on Twitter, if you use Obsidat's ability to exile him, he'll come back into play because the whip just checks that it gets exiled.
Correct.
That's absurd. Okay, well, that makes me say B on this card, then.
I'm going to say C+, B-. Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't know how many of these you run in your Obsidat deck. It's probably like 2 max.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a cute, not powerful.
It's a creepy interaction though. So.
I say F. Yeah. I still say F. I just think this is like a seance. You know, this is not going to do it. Nope.
I mean, if it's a seance, it just takes the right player to play the deck, right?
It's four to cast it and then 4 to activate. Yeah, sorry.
I think it's not irrelevant, but like, I'm not sure like, what deck you put this in, you know, like, the lifelink ability can be good, and somebody played this against me in testing and it was insane, but like, I don't know, it's just kind of awkward.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, like, it has to find a home for sure, but if it finds a home, it could definitely abuse this kind of ability.
I'm gonna say C+, like, I'm fine having them, but I'm not super dying to get them.
Yeah.
I'll pay 2 later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. 2 or maybe $1.50. A dollar. Yeah. I can see it going to a dollar.
That's fair.
And we're done.
Guess hold up, hold up. So do you guys want to talk about any commons of notable? I think one to say is definitely Read the Bones. That card is pretty good. And if you're going to see any black, you need to get that, card draw and, card selection. That's going to be a player. So if you see the Esper or if you see the Grixis, I think a 3 of is the right amount of that card you want in those decks.
Is that common or uncommon?
That's uncommon, right?
I was gonna say, cause commons never really have price potential, like it's, especially when that first comes out, it's rare, it's gotta see a ton of play.
And maybe dissolve. Yeah.
I'm fine with having those in my binder.
Is that the new counterspell?
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, that card's good too. Yeah, I agree, like those are fine.
It'll be like a $2 uncommon, kinda like Young Pyromancer is now.
Yeah, most non-rares you're never really interested in buying into, so like most of them are gonna be B's at best.
Okay, so before we go, are there any cards, you know, maybe this is a pick of the week. Oh, I actually like the other Minotaur dude, the Kragmar Warcaller at 50 cents, cause it, you know, whatever, casual Minotaur deck. And Magma Jack's obviously worth having in your binder. But are there any cards from Return to Ravnica that now, having seen the whole set, you guys think are good pickups?
God, ask me on the spot.
I mean, I'll start where you guys.
Everything I've said, I've had a whole bunch of stuff I've been going off for the past while, and I think everything's pretty much been right. I'm sorry, yeah. Read the Bones is a common. Fuck. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, the one that I've noticed is Gyre Sage. I haven't really seen it mentioned much at all, but, Manigoyf is pretty powerful. Like I said, I've been testing green white and like everything triggers it. Like you know, everything triggers it and you're playing Advents and stuff and it helps you cast your Advents. So like that's a card that's like $2 right now and it went to $6 when it was played before. And I mean, yeah, it got opened a fair amount, but $2 still seems cheap. It seems like it could double up.
I don't know.
Yeah, like I don't think I'm happy buying into him at two. I'm fine trading for him at two.
I mean, it's always a trade for me. I never really like to buy into stuff hard.
Let's see. Even if you were someone to aggressively buy, I think you kind of stray away at $2. Like it has to hit $6 for you to make any real amount of money.
Right, which is why I like trading for it too and having them when they're four.
It's online at 40 cents, 44 cents. Yeah, I wouldn't be. I'd take say it's a risk that I wouldn't want to take. Yeah,
that's fair.
The cards I think. It's better if control isn't a big deal, like, cause it's obviously very, very bad against Wrath, but it's very, very good against other creature decks, cause you get out ahead of them and have a big.
Alright. Hey, actually, let's close up the set, cause I just realized how long it is and I gotta edit this shit and I got work and all the good stuff, so.
Fair enough.
Let's do this. So we wanna let everyone know, hit us up. You can find us on gatheringmagic.com. And you can find us on brainstormbrewery.com and minaechoes.org. And yeah, anything else? Oh, check out the O2 Drop After Party video. That's on minadeprived.com. And shout out to Kevin Metal and everyone else in the video.
And continue sending in, you know, your applications if you're interested in writing for Brainstorm Brewery.
Or being an editor, we're still going through all the things. And if you got any trades, send it in. We may give out some prizes for everyone that gets selected for that.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys. Good luck at your pre-release.
Brainstorm Brewery is brought to you by GatheringMagic.com and CoolStuffInc.com. Show your support.